24. Luisa had been a surgeon in Sao Paulo before getting sidetracked into the medical technology field, then eventually finding the file and emigrating to Atlantis. When people arrived in the past, they eventually realized that they still had to do something, and what the people who already lived in the past were doing, such as struggling to find food and shelter, was not, in their case, necessary, nor was it fun. Most time travelers ended up doing pretty much the same thing they did in their original time, and for Luisa, that meant setting up a medical clinic. It passed the time. She was helping the community, and it allowed her to explore the medical applications of the file. Her facilities were beautiful, clean, and modern. Her waiting room was comfortable, spacious, and attractive, and her receptionist was a large, muscular man who knew how to look at her in just the perfect way to put butterflies in her stomach. He was sitting at his desk, filing his fingernails, when Philip and Britt materialized in the waiting room. Britt was clearly in great distress, and Philip was holding Nick, who had an arrow sticking out of his side. Britt shouted, "We need Luisa now!" The receptionist scarcely had time to stand before Martin and Gwen appeared. Martin immediately helped Philip support Nick, who was moaning and clutching at the arrow. Martin could see that Nick also had deep cuts on his arms. The receptionist hit a button, which was not technically connected to anything, but which still alerted Luisa whenever it was pressed. Martin asked, "What happened?" Britt answered, "We were being silly and Nick was dragging me out of the apartment. As soon as we got out the door, a bunch of arrows flew at me from both ends of the hall." Gwen said, "And poor Nick got in the way." "No," Britt said. "They bounced off of me and hit him." Luisa materialized. She took a second to survey the scene, then leapt into action. Within moments, she and her receptionist had Nick on a gurney that hovered in midair and whisked him away to the examination rooms. They instructed the others to remain in the waiting room. 5 minutes later, Luisa came out to tell them what was happening.
"Luckily, the arrow didn't penetrate very far into his abdomen. I'm going to have to do surgery, but he should pull through just fine."
Britt asked,
"Is he in pain?"
"No,"
Luisa said.
"I froze him in time. He's not even aware that anything's happening."
"And you can perform surgery on him that way?"
Philip asked.
"Close. I can't do it with time stopped. With time frozen, he's essentially a statue, but I can slow time to a crawl for him while I do the surgery. I'll have the whole thing done before he has time to flinch."
Britt asked,
"And he won't feel any pain?"
"Oh, he'll feel a tremendous amount of pain, but only for half a second, from his point of view."
Britt said,
"I don't want him to feel any pain."
Luisa said,
"He was in pain when you brought him in. He'll be in pain after the surgery, no matter what I do. We could put him under general anesthetic. I'd have to train someone to monitor his vitals and make sure he doesn't die. Well, we'd have to intubate him. He'd take a long time to wake up, and he'd be groggy and disoriented when he did. Or we can do it my way and get the same result, only I can have it done safely all by myself, and we'll be done in half an hour."
Philip said,
"You make a convincing argument."
"Also,"
Luisa continued,
"the slow-motion facial reaction to the surgery is usually hilarious."
They left Nick in Luisa's capable hands. She promised to repair the damage, keep him comfortable after the procedure, and record his reactions for them to enjoy later, when they were in the mood. They walked to the summit. They weren't concerned about a new attack because the killer, or killers, seemed to need time to regroup after each failed attempt on Britt's life. Besides, they wanted time to talk. Gwen asked,
"How many arrows was it this time?"
Britt said,
"I didn't take the time to count, but at least 10.
Martin said,
"If one arrow doesn't do it, maybe 10 will. I mean, whoever's doing this, they're either stubborn or stupid, right? It's like one statue didn't do it, let's try a different statue. No, maybe an arrow. No, how about a bunch of arrows? What'll it be next time, 100? Poor Nick getting hit is bad enough, but there could be serious collateral damage if this keeps up. We have to figure out who's doing this."
"Yes, thank you," Philip said. "That hadn't occurred to the rest of us."
"Well, then let's hear some ideas," Martin said. "We need some suspects."
Philip asked,
"Well, what are your ideas, Martin? Or does realizing that we need an idea count as your idea?"
Martin knew Philip was on edge, so he didn't return the snotty tone when he replied,
I don't know the possible suspects nearly as well as Britt and Gwen. But I'll say again that we need to look at who has the most to gain from Britt being out of the picture.
Gwen put her hand on Martin's shoulder.
Martin, we've been through this. Nobody has anything to gain. Anybody who has enough knowledge of magic to make the attempt will know that they can't possibly succeed.
Martin shifted to face Gwen, and in doing so, pulled his shoulder out from under her hand.
Then there has to be something we're missing, he said. Britt, think about it. Let's forget motive for a minute. Has anybody been acting weird around you lately?
Britt said,
No, but they wouldn't, would they? If they were trying to kill me, they'd make a point of not tipping their hand.
Martin said,
What about those two dandies, Fauntleroy and Fancy Pants? You know, the guys in the tuxedos? They were pretty rude to you yesterday.
Britt said,
No, as I remember it, they were rude to you.
Okay, you're right. But they were rude near you. That's a start.
Gwen said,
Martin, your problem is that you're trying to figure this out with logic. You can't. It's illogical. They're trying to kill someone who can't be killed. You can't make sense of something that's senseless.
Martin glowered and said,
Everything's senseless until someone makes sense of it. Life doesn't explain itself.
Be that as it may, Philip said, we do have to stop these attacks, not just because of collateral damage, but for Britt. I don't think her fate is tied to Britt the Elder's. I'm absolutely sure that she can be killed.
Britt the Younger took Philip by the arm and said,
Isn't he sweet?
Gwen smiled and glanced at Martin, but he wasn't looking at her. They arrived late at the summit and attempted to enter quietly during the morning session. Their attempt was foiled by Britt the Elder, who was making some announcements as they entered. She smoothly, as if waiting for her cue, announced,
Both members of the Medieval England delegation and one member of the Atlantis delegation have arrived. As I informed you all this morning as the day's deliberations commenced, there was another attempt on my life, which, of course, failed, but did result in the injury of a servant, who will make a full recovery.
Instead of slinking unnoticed into their seats as they had planned, they slunk into their seats with everyone in the room watching them. The morning's program involved discussion of various methods of testing if a person who found the file was well-versed enough in its use to be allowed to remain. A man of Indian descent, who identified himself as Vikram, explained his group's method, which involved making a new recruit publicly perform with a deadly cobra. If the recruit understands the uses of the file well enough to make himself impervious to the cobra's venom, then he has enough mastery to remain. Martin looked to his left and noticed that one member of the delegation of traveling faith healers from the 1940s was furiously taking notes. After a couple of hours, it was time for a break, and the four of them just naturally congregated together to continue discussing the problem. Britt told the other three,
Look, I think we all agree that we have to put an end to this, and I think we all agree that we don't really have any good suspects. What if instead of hunting them down, we trap them instead? That way, they identify themselves.
Gwen, Philip, and Martin agreed that it sounded like a good idea, so she continued.
We've been looking at the fact that all of these delegates are here doing magic as if it's complicating things. But I was looking at them, and I realized that the only reason they can all do magic here is that we've got copies of their interfaces and shell programs running on a local machine in this time. And all of the users are registered with the various programs. I figure I can write another program that will monitor all of those, and the Atlantis interface. Next time someone tries to kill me, we'll be able to see exactly who did it.
Martin said,
That sounds like a good idea.
A voice that sounded exactly like Britt's said,
I agree. It does sound like a good idea.
They all turned to see Britt the Elder standing behind them. Martin asked, Will it work? Philip didn't ask because he wasn't convinced her answer was trustworthy. Britt the Younger and Gwen didn't ask because they knew not to bother. Britt the Elder said,
I'm still alive, aren't I?
Martin said,
That didn't really answer the question.
Britt the Elder replied,
It tells you all you need to know, though, doesn't it?
Martin scowled and said,
Now you're just being evasive.
Britt the Younger said,
Maddening, isn't it?
Britt the Elder held up her hands in a gesture of surrender.
I don't want to upset anybody. I just wanted to come over and touch base with everyone. I know the last day or so has been eventful.
She looked straight at Philip as she said this and smiled a knowing smile. Philip said,
We're fine.
Britt the Elder said,
I'm sure you are.
Her smile got wider and more knowing. Philip smirked in spite of himself. Britt the Elder nodded, now beaming. Philip blushed a bit, then chuckled. Britt the Elder laughed as well. They both looked at the ground, laughing softly, and peeking up at each other and blushing. Philip glanced to his side and saw that Britt the Younger was also turning red, but she didn't look embarrassed. She gritted her teeth, turned silently, and walked away at high speed. Philip exhaled sharply, shot Britt the Elder an irritated look, and followed the Younger. Gwen said,
That wasn't very nice, Britt.
Britt the Elder said,
No, it wasn't, but eventually I was able to forgive myself.
Gwen watched Philip's back as he disappeared through the crowd and down the hall. She leaned toward Martin and said,
You'd think a love triangle would be less complicated if it only had two people in it.
Gwen heard no answer, so she turned and only then saw that Martin had walked away. Judging by his distance, he clearly had left immediately after Philip. Britt the Elder said,
When it comes to romance, two people are more than complicated enough. Wouldn't you agree?
Britt the Younger reached the door to the outside. Philip was right behind her, calling for her to slow down. They emerged into the open air at the top of the gleaming white staircase that led to the meeting hall. Britt stopped walking and started swiping at the air with her finger. Philip ran up behind her, panting, and said,
Britt, please, we need to talk about this.
Britt scowled at Philip, but placed a hand on his shoulder, and with the other hand poked at the interface only she could see. An instant later, they were standing on a beach of one of the uninhabited islands near Atlantis. Philip spun around and asked,
Where are we?
I took us somewhere we could talk in private,
Britt spat.
I certainly wasn't going to take you back to my place. You've been there enough.
Philip saw Atlantis shimmering in the distance. They were miles away. He said,
Britt?
Even to himself, he sounded miserable.
You slept with her!
Britt shouted.
No, I never!
Philip shouted back. Britt stared at him for a moment. Then he said,
I don't think I did.
She continued to smolder and stare. He continued to stutter and stammer.
Okay, I guess, depending on how you look at it, I guess I kind of did, but Britt, that was a long, long time ago.
Through gritted teeth, Britt the Younger asked,
When?
Philip said,
Britt, you know, when?
Britt interrupted.
When did you sleep with her? You say it was a long time ago. When was it, Philip?
Last night.
Britt turned and stormed off down the beach. Philip followed.
From our point of view, from hers, it was decades ago, over a century.
Britt kept walking, but she did start talking.
Oh, so now we are the same person.
What?
Up until now, when you were trying to butter me up, you were sure that she wasn't really me. But now, when I'm angry, you decide she is.
Look!
Philip shouted.
You're the one insisting that when I slept with you, I also slept with her. I very clearly stated that I didn't sleep with her.
So I suppose I should think better of you for having denied it at first.
I still deny it. I only entertained the idea that you're the same person to show you how silly you...
Philip trailed off, but he knew it was a word too late. He took a second to rephrase his thoughts. Britt passed the time by attempting to kill him, by staring him to death. Philip, his voice much quieter and much sadder, said,
Britt, I'm just hoping I can get you to look at this logically.
Britt spoke in a voice that was also much quieter, but also much angrier.
Philip, am I the first woman you've ever been in a fight with?
No.
Am I the first woman you've ever told to be more logical?
No, Britt asked.
Has that ever worked out well for you?
She said.
Don't answer that. I'll tell you what. I'll do as you say and look at the situation logically. Martin keeps saying we should look at who has something to gain from trying to kill me. Well, it occurs to me that one person has gained. He's gained an excuse to be around me. He's gained from me being emotionally vulnerable and grateful to him for his support. And it just so happens that the attack started right after I first met him. And he's the only person who's been present every single time I've been attacked. What does that tell you, logically, Philip?
Philip gaped at her, wounded and confused. Then, in a small voice, he said,
Why am I always a suspect? I'm just about the most harmless person on Earth. And yet, everyone I get close to is suspicious of me.
Britt said,
Good question, Philip.
She started swiping her finger through the air. Philip realized that she was setting up the teleport back to Atlantis, which meant that the argument was over. He sighed heavily and held out his hand. Britt looked down at his hand, laughed mirthlessly, and said,
No, I'll let you get your own ride back.
She disappeared and left him standing alone on a beautiful island in an ugly mood. He raised his staff into the air, took flight, and swung low over the waves on a direct heading for Atlantis. In his state of mind, he made even flying look like a miserable ordeal.